is, as you know, the breaking of bread and baptism. I would say that most everyone here, if I was to talk with you individually, would know about the Lord's Supper and baptism, and you could probably show me some things in Scripture that I never saw before. And it's a common practice here at the assembly. And we sought to teach it over the years, and as you read the Scriptures in your personal life, you see in Scripture how clear these two subjects are seen. And it's great to be able to be reminded of these. I've enjoyed the time in preparing and molding over Scripture and that in spending time in putting some thoughts together. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28. We're going to start here. I'm going to draw some parallels between the Lord's Supper and baptism. And there's also some ways that they're not parallel to the fullest extent. And so let's read Matthew 28 and verse 18, beginning at verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, that's the disciples there on the mount in the in Galilee area, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. As I said, I'd like to draw some parallels between the two. And first of all, in verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. All authority is given unto the Son by the Father in heaven and in earth. He carries all power, and all the power we need to live the Christian life and to be obedient to Him is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jim had that song, Obedience, the very best way to show that we believe. And, you know, that's where it's at. It's depending on His power, isn't it? It's not of ourselves. It's all of Him. It's all of His power. And He says to the disciples, go ye. So there's a command, isn't there? To go. To go, therefore, and teach all nations. It was a command that the Lord had given to the disciples that they were to go and to teach all nations. All the nations. They were one day to, they were to stay in Jerusalem in Acts chapter 1 until they were endued with power from on high. And then when the Spirit of God came at Pentecost, and at that time they were endued with power from on high. The Spirit of God then dwelt within believers. And they were to go forth from Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. And that's the word go, isn't it? Commanded them to go and to the uttermost parts of the earth, to all nations, and to preach the gospel. Or to teach them the gospel, or to preach the gospel, the good news, the good tidings of great joy that's for all people. Baptizing them, and this is a command to baptize them. And I want to look, I just want to draw some parallels, but I will look, we'll take a look at some of the details of the baptism that we find in Scripture. The moment we're saved, we become a child of God. We are truly, God is doing a work in our hearts and lives, and we need to obey Him in baptism. So it's a command. Baptism is a command. And the Lord's Supper is a command as well, isn't it? The Lord Jesus, when He was in the upper room with the disciples, and they celebrated the Passover. You know, as the Passover feast, they would bring a lamb would be slain, and it would be brought to the table, and they would eat of that lamb. And it's a fulfillment, of course, back in Exodus chapter 12, when God told the people of Israel to slay the lamb, to put the blood on the doorpost, and to eat of that lamb. And then, at the end of the Passover celebration, the Lord Jesus laid aside the lamb, and on the table, He put the bread and the cup, reminding them that He is the Passover lamb. In 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7, it speaks there of the fact that Christ is the Passover lamb who was sacrificed for us. And so He's the fulfillment of the Passover, isn't He? And He instituted His own remembrance that they were to do. And as He took the bread and He broke it and passed it to them, "This is My body, which is broken for you." And as He took the cup and passed it to them, "This is My blood shed for you for the remission of sins." So there is a comparison there, or a parallel, because it's a command. Do this in remembrance of Me. Go ye. Do this in remembrance of Me. What are just some things about the baptism? Baptism is an outward expression of an inward experience. And as I said, and as the song that we sang, it's obedience, isn't it? It comes right down to obedience. Am I obedient to the Lord? And am I really convicted and convinced in my heart that this is what God wants and has commanded me to do? In we see that baptism is an outward expression of an inward experience or reality. When we're baptized, we go down under the water, immersed. The word baptism has a transliterated word, baptismal. It can't be defined any other way but immersed. There are those that see things differently, but if you look at the word carefully in that, it just simply means to be immersed. And that's how the Word of God is presented to us concerning baptism. Both commands obedience by being taught. Notice in verse 20. Now we're to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. All three persons, living persons of the Godhead, are observing as we're baptized before them. The Trinity, the whole Trinity, the baptized in the name. It doesn't say names, it says name. It's one, right? Three persons. But one, there's one name. And notice in verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Teaching them to observe all things. And you know, we're to observe all things. You know, the word observe has the thought of something on display, right? It's like a celebration, something that you enter into and you're all taken up with it. You know, it's something that affects your mind and your heart, you know, as you observe something. It touches your inward being. And you know, for many years I've never stayed up and watched the New Year's celebration there in Times Square in New York. So I decided this year I would do it. So time was going on, and it had to be about 11 o'clock or so, and I fell asleep. So the next thing that I heard was, Happy New Year. That was what I heard. I saw the fireworks at the end, but I didn't see the ball drop, which I really wanted to do. But, you know, I didn't observe it. I didn't enter into the celebration fully. What I wanted to do. And you know, it's the same thought here. We're to put on display. We're to enter in to the things that God has commanded us to do. And you know, in baptism, our life ought to be, when we say to the Lord, you know, I commit my life to you. I want to cut off from the things of the world, the things of the flesh. The temptations that I deal with I'm just so convinced that you want me to follow you. And I want to do that. And we go ahead and we're baptized. But we're always on display. The moment we're saved, we are, right? We're to observe all things. And that's really what the Lord is looking for, isn't it? And it's the same in the Lord's Supper. That as we gather to remember the Lord, when we leave this place, we're to continue to observe and to continue to celebrate in our hearts and minds. And it continues to encourage us, right, during the week. Some of the things we might observe in the Lord's Supper or that, or some of the brethren have shared in that, sometimes, and even in the teaching ministry as well, but sometimes during the week, or, you know, you continue to mold those things over in your mind. But so often we forget, don't we? So often we forget. Our minds aren't taken up with the things of the Word of God as it ought to. Becomes a test of our faith and trust in the Lord day by day. So they both are to be observed. When do we celebrate the Lord's Supper? And in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says that on the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. And as we know, the Lord Jesus was resurrected on the first day of the week. And so that's when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, the remembrance. And it's a wonderful way to start the week, isn't it? You know, the Sabbath was on the seventh day, but the first day of the week was the day that the Lord set aside. Now, there's another place where that's found, as you know, in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 2. Upon the first day of the week, they laid aside what God has prospered them. So there's a remembrance in the breaking of the bread and the giving of what God has blessed us with. As God has prospered us, so we give. So it's without a doubt that God's remembrance time is set aside for the first day of the week. And I never thought of this when I read it this morning in Revelation. John saw the Lord. It was on the Lord's day that he had the vision. It was a special day. And I believe the Lord considers that a very, very special day to himself, and as he reveals himself to us, that we too can consider it the same way. Then we see, but just a comparison with baptism, we're baptized once. And that's all that God wants us to do. We don't do it three or four times. We do it once in our acts of obedience to the Lord. And but it's a continuation through our whole life, isn't it? His life within us, you know, is exemplified as we spend time in his word, and as we walk with him, his life is lived out in us. Now you say, well, that's a pretty perfect way of looking at it. And it's true. Unfortunately, sometimes we get sidetracked, right? I was reading yesterday of the testimony of Ladd Horn, when Ladd was saved in that. And I was particularly interested in his thoughts on baptism. And he was, you know, Ladd went home to be with the Lord. And I was particularly interested what he had to say about baptism. And he wanted to be baptized. He felt he should be. And but this was many years ago, and they didn't have the baptistry that we have now, of course. You'd have to go out to Lake Erie and in the summertime and do it then. So he waited in that. And he said that he knew the Lord wanted him to follow him, but he knew he wouldn't. He knew I wouldn't, he said. Now, I thought that was quite striking for him to say, but yet as I thought of it more, you know, we need to take that step of obedience. And we need to look back at that time that we were baptized, right? That needs to be a stone in each of our lives. When we have made a commitment, we have cut off and we've put on. Put off the old man, put on the new man. And so that's very important. I remember when I was working with the Hebrew Christian Mission and we were on campus, Paul Rambler and I, and we was a young university student there who was Jewish, and he was interested in the gospel, and he became gloriously saved. His parents, of course, were not in that. And so as we went along, and this was probably, I don't know, months or maybe a year, he was asking about baptism. So we were showing him in Scripture and that, and he felt he wanted to be baptized. But he told his parents that this is what he wanted to do. And his parents told him that if you go through with that, you're no longer our son. You will no longer be welcomed in our home. But you see, it was very important that, you know, having been brought up in Judaism and all of the things of Judaism and the laws and all of the things and their traditions and all. In baptism, which it teaches, that he would be cutting off all of those things. Now I'm taking on Christ. And it took quite some time for him to realize that. And this was a big step to take. But yet he wanted to obey the Lord. But as far as I know, and as I remember, he never was baptized. Now, he may have later, because I know he did attend a Bible-believing church for a while. But you know, we don't have that for the most part. We don't have something so extreme as that for the most part. But yet we have what the Lord says to do, because I've commanded you to do it. And so another thought that I had was the fact that in the Lord's Supper, right, we remember his death, his burial and his resurrection. We're focusing on his death on the cross of Calvary for our sin, the suffering, the anguish, the torment that he endured there on the cross of Calvary. He went to the lowest of lowest in order to pay for sin, didn't he? Imagine paying for the price when an ungodly man cries out, "Away with him! Oh, I had anything to do with him. Crucify him." Rejecting the very Son of God. Putting his fist in the air and saying, "Crucify him. I will not have this man to reign over me." He suffered and died. And that's what the Lord wants us to remember, isn't it? He wants us to remember his death till he comes. And upon the first day of the week, we gather together to break bread. In baptism, we have the same, somewhat of the same, don't we? We have the picture of his death, his burial, and his resurrection. When you go down under the water, you're identifying in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ and his burial. We're identifying with him. Sin no longer reigns in our bodies. We've been crucified with Christ, and we'll look at a little bit of that. Self, all the things of the flesh, has been crucified and nailed to his cross. And as we go down in the water and identifying in his death, burial, and as we come out of the water, the glorious power of his resurrection is seen, isn't it? We're identifying with his resurrection. He's alive. We sang this morning, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along the narrow way. He lives. He lives. We have a living, risen Savior. We're resurrected to a new life. Now, positionally, before God, that's true, isn't it? Our position, the moment we're saved, the moment we receive Christ as Savior, our position is in Christ Jesus, aren't we? We have all we need. God has given us all we need to secure our salvation. He's given it to us the moment we're saved. We're in Christ. It's Christ. We're in Christ, and it's Christ in you. The hope of glory, isn't it? But practically, in our lives, we need to live it out, don't we? We need to live out, right, how this works. And we can't live it on our own strength. Lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. We can't do it by ourselves. We can't display and put our life on observance before God unless we realize he's with us. Another thought I was thinking of is our love for the Lord. Very much parallel between the two. we come at his table and we come to share love, don't we? Expression from our hearts. I'm thankful for the sisters as they gather and as they inaudibly worship the Lord. And I like that in Solomon where it speaks of the fragrance there of the precious ointments. And I think of the ladies as they offer up worship and praise to God, how God is so pleased. And as the men speak audibly, and I should say too, and as the ladies sing the songs in that, a form of worship, spiritual songs, lifting up spiritual sacrifices to the Lord, and he is well pleased. That's a great, great thing. And as the men share from the Word of God, and it ought not to be a prepared thing, should it? So we, although there's a sense that we need to, through the week, as we meditate in the Word and in our devotions, and perhaps a thought may come to mind, and we're really taken up with it, and it affects us, and you know, we share things like that. But for the most part, we've got to realize that if the time we come to allow the Spirit of God to lead us in our worship, isn't it? We have to do that. We have to depend on the Spirit of God, whose work is to glorify the Son, isn't it? John chapter 16, when he came, that's what he was to do. And as he leads our hearts in worship, and brethren who give out songs in that of worship, and that lifts our hearts to the Lord, and we're so taken up with him that our love is just is so evident. Sometimes people, you can show love without even saying anything, can't you? I remember when my dad passed away, the pastor from the little church was really grieved. He came to the house and we were there, brothers and sisters and my mother and that. And as he came in, he began to break down in tears. He never said a word. He just waved and left. Even though he didn't say anything, we knew by the tears and by just by his presence that he loved my dad. And you know, it's so true. And when we remember the Lord, there's just an atmosphere of love, isn't there? Because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. Because we love what he has done for us. Because we love the fact that he took my place as a vile, wicked sinner, a nature within each one of us that was vile. You have a nature that is capable of committing any conceivable type of sin. But thank God he took that all on the cross. And he said, "You come to me, and I'll take it all away. I'll forgive you. I'll give you the new life in Christ Jesus." So it ought to generate love. And so it is with baptism. It ought to be a reminder of our love, the love that we ought to have for the Lord. We love him because he first loved us, right? He did it first. And you know, as I mentioned a little bit earlier there, that, you know, we face trials in life, don't we? We face difficulties. We face disappointments. We face decisions that we don't have the answer for. We face decisions that affect my life day by day, that could affect, could be a big changing thing in our lives. You know, that's where we can stop and say, you know, I've been baptized. I want to walk with the Lord. And I've got to depend on Him. You know, and if we fall into sin, we need to repent, don't we? And turn from that sin and get right with God and get back on track again. Baptism isn't a guarantee that everything is going to work out fine from there on. And that's what I liked from Ladd's comment. He knew I wouldn't. But yet it was something that was in his life that he could strive for, that he might bear the image of the Lord Jesus Christ and seek to live for Him. So the Lord wants us to always remember that we can always come back to Him. We can always repent. We can always return into fellowship and live for God in our life. And you know, in my past, I was baptized when I was 20 years of age. I remember up in the little church up home. And but of course there was no baptistry. There was a river that flowed. The church was on the bank of the river, and you go out and go down the bank, and there's the river. So in the summertime, you only had a few weeks in August when things were warm. The water would be warm enough to go into. So, but it was a good experience to be able to walk out into the river. You know, John the Baptist baptized the Lord Jesus in the River Jordan. And you know, it's a good experience. But anyway, I was baptized at that time. I was 20. And you know, I never forgot that time and that day. My mind goes right back to that spot. And it's a good remembrance. And my time is gone. And I just want to end with, both are vital for our maturity. I was thinking about that. Both are vital for our maturity. That the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Teaching all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And you think of that, teaching. And it enters into so many things in the life of the Lord Jesus, the life of the apostles. It enters into so many things. All things that I have commanded you. You know, if we follow His command, we're going to, day by day, grow and mature in the Lord, aren't we? And Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, and we didn't get to read it, but he said that as he spoke of the Lord's Supper there, it will show forth His death till He comes. It will show forth. It'll be on display. It'll be observed. We're to observe his death till he comes. But he wants it observed in our life. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you for the commandments he's given to us. Help us to be obedient. Help us to do what you have asked us to do. And help us to desire to live for you and to observe and to display in our lives the things that you've commanded us to do. Help us, we pray, and we give you thanks. In your worthy and precious name, amen.